Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com. Follow him on Twitter at Pete Futek. He joins us, as all our guests do, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Pete, good afternoon to you. How you doing, bud?
You got to punch him up there, Chico.
There we go.
There we go. Sorry about that, Pete.
By the way, that was the most brilliant thing I'm ever going to say, and it's lost. It's gone now.
Didn't go on the air, Pete. Sorry about that.
I can't get it back. I know. I can't get it back now. I lost the groove at this point. You guys aren't in Evanston for this big mammoth showdown between Big Ten champions rematches here?
We just want to measure the grass. I want to go there just to see how long this grass is for real.
Yeah, it's a field. It's going to be a little chilly, and but you know what? It's going to be all Ohio State fans because there's about four Northwestern fans in the greater Chicago area. So it's going to be all Buckeyes all the time in this place.
Do you like this Friday night idea, Pete?
You know what? I usually would say no because I kind of like all things Saturday, but it's fine. You know what? No one would watch Ohio State Northwestern anyway on a regular Saturday because it's going to be 155-3 in Northwestern's basically unwatchable at this point anyway. So,
all right,
get your showcase. Like, no one ever would have watched in a million years Troy versus South Alabama last night, but there's nothing else on. So, okay, there's a game going on. So, in that sense, fine. What's it to me? And then it was the other night where you didn't have a college football game or a football game of any sort. I felt empty. I just felt a little lost without something that night.
All right, Pete. So yeah, you're right. But let's talk about this game tomorrow night in Evanston. Long grass, Buckeyes, of course. What are they? Four touchdowns? Five touchdowns?
28-point favorites, Dustin. I believe is what.
Are they going to cover the number? That's all anyone cares about, right?
The thing about Northwestern is they're painful. They were painful last year too, but they were painful in one. The thing what they were able to do kind of worked. It really, really helped that the Big Ten West was god-awful last season, and that kind of helped Northwestern. Now, give them credit. They were able to get it done. But this year's shock, Wisconsin's not bad anymore. Michigan State's a little bit better, and they just have no offense. That Stanford-Northwestern game to start the season, I don't know if you watched it or not, but those were two teams that just beat each other to a pulp, and neither one of them's recovered yet. KJ Costello is still out there, starting quarterback for Stanford. They play tonight. Stanford's just never been right. They have nobody left on their offensive line. They all got hurt. Northwestern got everyone hurt, and they just don't have an offense. So, but the defense has been able to muck it up enough to your long-winded way to get to your point. They could slow things down to a dead stop grind and keep it to where it's not just a total annihilation. They did that against Wisconsin, where you look at the final score and it looks close, but Wisconsin just destroyed Northwestern. Northwestern just decided not to die. And so they kind of kept ticky-tacking stuff on at the end. So, again, long-winded way of saying they can make this close, but they have no prayer of winning this game.
Pete, I know we're not supposed to look ahead, but, well, we're going to look ahead.
Look ahead.
I mean, quite frankly, we cannot wait until next Saturday when Ohio State takes on Wisconsin. I mean, look, that Wisconsin defense, and we'll find out a lot about both teams, obviously, but that Wisconsin defense, no doubt, is for real under Dustin's old buddy Jim Leonard, defensive coordinator there, or head coach there. Defensive coordinator, right? Yeah. And that defense has just been fantastic, tops in the country. What do you see coming up next Saturday from those two teams?
And it's all a function of everything else Wisconsin does, because the defense is good. Now, man for man, no, they don't have the guys Ohio State has. It's kind of my issue with Wisconsin overall, especially as a Wisconsin grad who was there during the beginning of the Barry Alvarez era and before, is that Wisconsin can scheme up and they can get close. They just don't get the guys who can get them to that next level where they might beat Ohio State next week. They're not beating Ohio State twice. And that's kind of what you got to do in this to get to the college football playoff and get to that next level. But what Wisconsin's doing this year is everything else is clicking, and it helps kind of mask any of the issues on the defense, because when your offense is holding onto the ball for 59 minutes a game, it helps. I mean, they're doing some historic stuff here. You have to go back to 1960s Oklahoma teams, the last time anybody has shut anybody out four times in the first six games. And you know, they've played Michigan. They've played Michigan State. And I know Central Michigan and Kent State are no big deal. But Central Michigan gave Miami problems, and Kent State might end up going bowling from the MAC. I know, no big whoop, but at least they're not just complete and total god-awful teams, even though they kind of are. But Wisconsin is number one in the nation in third-down conversions, number one in third-down D, number one in total D, time of possession. I think they're number two in penalties. I mean, they're doing everything Wisconsin-y to kind of help out every other part, and it's all kind of clicking right now. They are as airtight as any team in the country right now. Like you said, I can't wait to see what they do against this Ohio State team that is also, if you're saying Wisconsin, maybe they're playing better than anybody else overall, than anybody in the country, Ohio State's right there, because there hasn't been a blip on anything Ohio State's had to do so far.
Pete Futek is with us, College Football News. Pete, is this a must-win for Jim Harbaugh on Saturday night?
I don't know about this whole must-win stuff. I guess if they had lost to Illinois, that's the thing. But as I keep saying, if you ask an average man on the street right now, what is Michigan's record? Just not even a true diehard college football fan, just any sports fan. What is Michigan's record right now? And with the way it's made to be sound, oh, they got to be like, what, 1-5, or they're 2-4? They're 5-1. You know, they don't look good. They look like they're going to turn the ball over on every play. But they don't get enough credit. Like Harbaugh, I'm a Harbaugh apologist, because just win. Get the wins. I know he doesn't have the big ones, but he's amassed a whole lot of mid-range to other wins. Like the win over Iowa, god-awful ugly, but it's a win. He doesn't get credit for that. Now he's going up against the other guy who, whenever you get those lists, the wacky lists of who are the most overrated coaches, James Franklin also wins a whole lot of games for Penn State. So you kind of have the most underrated coaches out there in a whole lot of ways. So even if they lose to Penn State, what else are you going to do if you're Michigan? Where are you going? You know, Jim Harbaugh is going to fall up and take whatever, you know, open NFL jobs out there next. So you can't really, I don't think you could do better than Harbaugh, but yeah, he's got to start winning some of these big games. This would be one of those games that they've got to do well. If they get crushed, yes, then you can kind of look at it and say, there's a problem here. They lose a close, tight game, which it probably will be like a 17-14-ish game. I think he's fine.
Pete, any changes from your preseason top four to here, say, at the midway point, if we want to call it that, looking ahead to the playoff?
Well, certainly LSU is looking like a top four team right now. At the beginning of the season, though, you'd say that defense was going to be the star. The defense had all the NFL talent. And that D hasn't even shown up yet to the level that it should be playing. It's fine. But the secondary certainly is not playing like it has a bunch of NFL starters back there, which they do. The offense has been just unstoppable. And before, last week, you could look at it and say, all right, well, they haven't really played a defense yet, and that includes Texas, who's giving up 1 million yards to everybody's passing game. Florida has an all-NFL secondary. They've got an NFL pass rush. I know Jonathan Grenard and Zuniga weren't able to go or weren't healthy for that. But still, that secondary with C.J. Henderson and the rest of it, that's a great group. And Joe Burrow did, what, hit like 85% of his passes and just carved them up? That is a machine. So you're talking about Ohio State and Wisconsin. I want to see them play when they're undefeated next week. I want to see LSU and Alabama go at undefeated because those two are just absolute heavyweights. And I guess if you can't get there undefeated, then whatever, you're not a heavyweight. But get there. It'd be a whole lot of fun to see LSU get by Auburn first and then get to that Alabama game. And that would just be the epic of epic games. So, like, long-winded way of saying, I would put LSU in the top four, take out Georgia. But, yeah, the rest of them, I mean, I don't know if you'd put Clemson in the top four right now based on what's happened this season. They're going to get there, but they're not playing like it. And if you're going based on who are the four best teams right now in terms of who's playing the best, Ohio State, Wisconsin, I'm going to stick Alabama in there just because I think they're the best team in the country. Oklahoma, all right, their one win is against Texas, but I'd probably stick Oklahoma in there as well if I'm not sticking – I'm sorry, I'm not sticking Oklahoma in there. I'm putting LSU in there with Oklahoma just right outside of that.
Okay, so let's continue with these hypotheticals here. LSU, plays Alabama on the 9th. And, man, they play them tooth and nail. They come up short. That's their only loss of the season. If they would end up, you know, going on to win every other game. Oklahoma's undefeated in the Big 12. Would you give the nod to LSU, or would you give the nod to an undefeated Oklahoma if it were to play out?
The way it's working out right now, because there's only the possibility of three of the Power 5 conference champions to be undefeated 13-0, anybody gets in. Clemson gets into 13-0, Big Ten champ gets in 13-0, Oklahoma gets in 13-0. You can have four top five. So there's four teams. There's four possibilities to have undefeated Power 5 conference champions. 13-0 gets you in no matter what. Even knocking out like a 11-1 Alabama LSU loser. There's just no way. The College Football Playoff Committee would be able to reason it away by saying, okay, maybe the LSU Alabama loser is one of the four best teams, but we've played this already. We'll count that as kind of a de facto playoff game, and we're going to stick four 13-0 teams in. The question kind of becomes, what happens if Oklahoma loses a game? What happens if Clemson loses a game? That's going to be the real fun because they play nobody. So now you've got this defending national champion, which last year shouldn't matter. But if they're 12-1, all of a sudden Oregon's going to have a whole heck of a lot better resume. So will Utah if it gets to 12-1 with the conference championship. Certainly, we're going to look at the LSU-Alabama loser if that team ends up being 11-1. And as I keep saying, Georgia's not out of it. You know, Auburn's not out of it. If you go 12-1 with an SEC championship, you are in no matter what. So I do think this is going to get a whole lot of fun. And we do know that there is going to be the curveball coming at some point, kind of like we had with Georgia and South Carolina last week. Someone's going to be in this mix, too, that's going to knock out one of these big boys with an undefeated record at some point.
Man, great stuff as always. And you know, I feel bad because Keith cut you off there in the beginning. We were unable to get what you were going to say at the beginning. So I'm going to give you the stage now, try to redeem for Keith here. Any parting shot you want to leave with, Pete? Go ahead.
Oh, basically, I figured out the meaning of life and everything in that first little moment there. No parting shot. It's you know what? We're in for a fun year. You know, we're at the midseason. We thought that at the beginning of the year, it's like, oh, great. It's going to be Clemson and Alabama and a bunch of other teams just kind of being there to get slaughtered. And now it still looks like Clemson and Alabama are going to get in. But we wouldn't be shocked if it's LSU, Ohio State for the national championship. Okay, if it's Oklahoma playing Wisconsin, we wouldn't be, you know, fall off our chairs shocked. It's not just those two big teams. And if it is those two big teams at the end, they're going to have to run a gauntlet to get there.
Pete, keep up the great work, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Have a great one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.